Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience. And also joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello now.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, that was a beautiful day. What was it yesterday?
Yeah, beautiful.
Just awesome. Sitting out there on the nice bay, I guess, the Bay of Pensacola.
Yeah.
Where the Blue Wahoos play.
Baseball. Baseball.
Baseball.
How does that go?
Baseball.
America's favorite. Baseball. America's favorite pastime.
Chevrolet used to be that way, too. And hot dogs, now they say it has too much fat. What's happening to our country?
What's happening?
I haven't seen apple pie in quite some time. Well, we want to be able to cover our Ian list as we get.
We have not been covering
our Ian list. Well, so many things are happening in the world today. We always talk about it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what the news do with the news that you know. And I don't know where the cameras are today, but I'm just going to look around and try to find one somewhere. If I'm not looking at you, I don't know. Same place?
Same place they were
okay,
yesterday.
Okay, hey.
They haven't moved.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm cameraman.
So in the context of that, it's like, what are we going to talk about? You know, and the thing about it is we want to talk about things that build your faith. You know, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So we want to prevent destruction.
Right.
You know, and God is about building and establishing and providing streams even in the wilderness. And so we want to talk about, hopefully today, you know, Michael Badia will be joining us again. He's actually in America right now. He's not in Romania. And we're looking forward to having Michael, which is, you know, a minister in his own right. Mm-hmm. But when we first met him, he's a grandson and was interpreter for Dimitri Dudeman, who gave God just burned this prophetic vision about America in his heart. And it's called Through the Fire. And this word is coming to pass. I just sent this word back up to, you know, Brett. Give a big shout out to Colorado this morning, Brett Holderbaum, and because God's been speaking to him about some very specifics, and speaking to us about some specifics, and that that, you know, sometimes you can be so spiritually focused that you don't realize, well, I know it's a spiritual battle, but right now I'm in the hospital with something physical, so.
Right.
I like what Brother Ken used to say. He says, you know, it's supernatural. Pray about it, then take two aspirins. Yeah. So you got to deal with both aspects of it. And if you talk to people who are suffering in deep poverty in certain nations, they say, well, you know, that's a spiritual thing. It's like, yeah, but they're poor still, and they need water. That's like both of those aspects of it. And, of course, whatever manifests in the spiritual, you can change that by ministering the gospel. But we're seeing natural assaults. We're seeing, you know, people's desire. It's kind of hard to, you know, because we've been so blessed to see people don't like us.
I don't know why.
the devil doesn't like us. What's up with that? You know,
imagine
I remember that.
What did I do?
Yeah, that they said that this guy was walking along and he saw this church, and outside this church gathering building that the devil was outside on the street corner. He was crying. And somebody walks up, and he said, the devil, I said, why are you crying? He says, they blame everything on me. Everything is blamed on me.
Right.
Well, right now, I mean, you're looking at the desire of the Arab League, the desire of serious Muslims who take the Quran seriously. And you look at Putin, you know, President Putin, and with Russia, and... And you look at the prophecies and things that God's been saying, and the G's are getting smaller. It's like G20, G8, G7, G-Wiz, we're in trouble. Gee, it's only us, and it's going to finally get down to the last G, which is God. Mm. And so with that, you know, hopefully get a chance. We're going to be talking to Michael, you know, coming up in this week. And also... reviewing, and we'll make available for you on the Torch, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com so you can read this prophetic word. You know, we're Americans, so we say, you know, hey, that word was given a long time ago, and it's like, right. It's the Bible, though. Yeah, I mean, you do need to get in it. And but when it lines up, and the mercies of God will delay a word. When you think about this, you think about Josiah. The word for Israel was at that particular time was for God to destroy Israel. I mean, that Josiah was going to be destroyed, King Josiah. Mm-hmm. But he repented. He repented of that. Ahab, he was supposed to be destroyed, and he repented. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that the word wasn't going to happen. It was mm-hmm. delayed. And so that's the mercies of God, because we can all do what they did.
That's right.
You know, and Josiah stayed repentant, and it just stops. God will just stop the intentions that he has, or is going to has planned to allow to happen to a particular nation or people or city or state or whatever. He could just,
yeah,
you know, don't ever just go, well, it's just hopeless. It's only hopeless when you don't believe in God. All things mm-hmm. are possible mm-hmm. through Jesus Christ. And Josiah's season was, you know, just put it on pause. And so when you see a word like this, and what I think about what happened with Demetrius Dudeman's word that happened, you had the big, huge Brownsville outpouring. You know, you had that where God just put a pause on America and gave America a great chance, where he just poured himself out.
Was at a time when America was really dark. I mean,
yes,
not hopeful at all in the natural.
Yes, yes. And so that was like, hey, you know, that's hope. And the thing is, you know, what do we do with that? You know, and if somebody says, well, if America didn't turn with that, guess what? God can move again.
Hey.
He can move a multitude of ways, and he's just looking for someone to stand in the gap, you know, so he doesn't mm-hmm. have to destroy them. God doesn't want to have to allow to pull his hand off of, he doesn't want to see destruction to mm-hmm. anybody. Mm-hmm. He doesn't celebrate over one individual who would die without knowing him. No death, and especially not the death of the saints. And so, so we're going to be talking hopefully about more about that word this week. But you want to get it, you can read it. Go to VFNTV.com and read it. Read it and understand that, you know, these things talking about Cuban aircraft. I mean, who ever thought Cuban aircraft and Russian aircraft and all that? But this is exactly what a few prophetic friends of mine have been seeing. We've been talking about in potential physical battle on the land.
Boots on the ground, right?
Boots on the ground, hand-to-hand type situations almost, you know, where you're being confronted. And we'd say that's impossible. Well, I'm sure the Ukraine thought that would be impossible.
Hello.
You know, and so the thing about it is anything is possible when if we turn our back on God.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't think that you're standing in your own strength, because he can remind you mm-hmm. that it's him. And then you remember, and he goes, okay. And all of a sudden it just stops. Oh, yeah, moment. The aha moment. But also, when we'll talk about in our first program, we got four programs back to back, that Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, posted on his Twitter account, according to Fox News, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that particular Ephesians reference. And we'll talk more about it after the break. But the
Philippians.
Philippians. And he says that these atheists, you know, are telling him to, you know, take this down, you're threatening us. So we'll talk more about that in Fox News. Also, the Jerusalem Post is reporting two things in the context of the president is going to Saudi Arabia. And that's where we reported some time back where you know, he bowed to the king of Saudi mm-hmm. Arabia, which America bowed. When our leader bows, we bow to the king of Saudi Arabia. But this American journalist with Jerusalem Post, who covers the president, will be talking about that they actually wouldn't give him a visa to go cover the president mm-hmm. in Saudi Arabia, Jerusalem Post was reporting. And finally, in this first program, we'll be talking about how the Jerusalem Post is reporting that the Palestinians took a survey, and in the survey, 63% of Palestinians surveyed said that they do not approve of the framework of the American peace treaty for Israel. And the reason why is because you have to acknowledge a Jewish state.
That's right.
You know, we'll be talking more about that after this break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What happens when the ACLJ wins a court case? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, when you pursue litigation against the ACLU, do you go after punitive damages and reimbursement of legal expenses?
Well, no, that's a great question. In some cases, you're entitled to damages. In some cases, it's just an injunction, which is you're trying to get a law declared unconstitutional. But let me give you an example. In the RICO case, the National Organization for Women with the Plaintiffs, we were awarded in that case, we'll be awarded what's called costs. Now, the costs in a case like that are six figures. I mean, it's probably, you know, deposition fees and all this, probably a couple of $100,000. So you get costs. And sometimes you do get damages. It depends on the nature of the cases. So there are times when you will get a punitive damage verdict, but that depends really on the jury.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Fox News. Fox News is reporting, John, you're not going to believe this.
Uh-oh.
Fox News is reporting that Governor of Wisconsin, Governor Rick Scott.
Scott Walker.
Scott Walker. He is a PK.
Is he
Pray
really?
For him, yes.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
he's a pastor's kid. And he's a good governor, if I understand. But he posted on his Twitter, which is something that we felt like, wow, that's pretty overwhelming.
Right. We'll shove that for a second.
Another form of social media. But he posted on it Philippians 4:13. That's all he put, I believe, was that he didn't put even put the scripture out there. But, you know, which means I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation has demanded that he remove, according to the Fox News here, remove this from his official Facebook and Twitter account. And the verse is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is what they're saying. They're saying, this is a braggadocious verse coming from the public official, and it's rather disturbing, these leaders of this atheist foundation. He says, to say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me seems more like a threat. Oh, for we are many legion. What's how thou doest with us, Governor Scott? I mean, think about it. You're like telling yourself, or an utterance of a theocratic dictator than a duly elected civil servant. Is this not wild?
That is crazy. Wild.
But it's like playing cards and going, here's my cards. You know, I hope I win.
How can you be threatened about what you supposedly don't believe? You know what I'm saying? It's like,
I think they're believers.
I think they're believers.
I think they're believers. You know, he says even demons believe and tremble.
That's right.
And what they're saying is, we're trembling, Governor Scott. The fact that you would even post, you know, Philippians, the name of a town. And a chapter and a verse reference in the context of that. And it's interesting, too, that the atheists knew what the verse was. They knew what the verse was because I don't think he even put the scripture out there.
Really?
Yeah, he just put the...
They must have looked it up.
They must have looked it up. the word of God is, you know, sharper than a dull-edged sword.
Right.
It penetrates atheists.
Wow.
You know?
Hey, come
and
on.
You have to do it. It doesn't return void. And so the governor, I want to say this. The governor reports, according to Fox News, the governor will not remove it. He will not remove the scripture reference.
Thank you, Governor Scott.
Off of his Facebook. And isn't it amazing? How did this even get in the lexicon? I mean, how did, you know, rest assured, it's all going to get there.
It's all news. It's all news.
According to Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Who, by the way, did you know they just bought for $19 billion Oculus Rift? Oculus Rift is that technology that we've talked about here on VFN Radio.
Eye.
The whole
facial recognition?
It's the mask you put on your face. It's literally virtual reality. We had a segment where the grandmother was, oh my goodness, she's
They bought that company.
$19 billion recently.
So you can put these goggles on, and Romans chapter 1 would just be such a reality to you that you won't want reality.
Mm.
Isn't it amazing? It's so funny.
Amazing.
Everybody's so virtual nowadays. So when you see reality come together, you know, like in a fellowship or something like that, people are like, okay, I'm finished. I don't know what to say. I'm lost. I don't know what to say.
Right.
And it's like, hey, you said you had all these friends and stuff. Yeah. And now you're like, you're with people now. These are folks.
That's an old picture.
I remember when I was in first grade 7,000 years ago for the fifth time. No. And the teacher would call on, at that time, by the way, just so you know it, it was pretty ancient. No, the desk that you sat at had like something, like a compartment underneath it. You could put your pencil in there. Mm. You can make like glue little things.
They still have those desks.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
And so the teacher would call on a student, and they're, because they're, I guess they're first grade or second grade, so I guess they're a little intimidated. I don't know. I told Ma, don't leave me. No, Ma, just joking. I was just joking. And so she'd call on, the teacher would call on the kid, right? And so the kid, to hide from this reality, would turn sideways and stick their face in the desk. And they'd be looking like they're looking at the desk for something, right?
I think I've done that.
Oh, I knew that.
That was me.
He still does that now. He just hides under the table. Pat, what are you doing?
You know, so
how
even
far
if,
can I get my head in this thing?
Even at 5 years old, I'm going, oh, dude, this is not good. We understand what's happening there. It's not good. Oh,
yeah, that was torment. Don't call on me, please.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, that's not the thing. Today, though, instead of looking in their desk, they look at their phones.
Mm.
Or they put earphones. We know you're not actually listening to music. You're listening to so-and-so right next to you at the Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly.
We could tell by how you got offended when Jesus came, when this conversation came while we washed off. Anyway, but instead of looking at the desk, so people just look at their digital devices. Mm-hmm. Now imagine what it would be like with this particular company. You know, you walk around people, and people say, you know, I really don't even need to use my real eyes out there. I could look at the world through all of this virtualness, because everywhere I look, I can see a map, I can see streets, I can see buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about that.
Hey,
planes fly like that. Aircraft fly without pilots being able to. I mean, you think about the pilot sits on top of the plane, and the nose sticks out, so you can't like look down out of the window to see what you're landing on.
Here.
Yeah, it's all radars and computers and all that. Well, imagine having that on your face.
Hmm.
You know, and it's so dangerous because it's not real, but it'll take you through all these real things. So when you get by reality, you won't even like reality.
You won't even recognize it.
You won't even recognize it.
Well, crazy. We talked about the gentleman that is working with Google, Ray Kurzweil, about technology and how technology is going to advance in such a way.
He's building a brain, right?
A brain. Well, they made a movie.
Oh, did they?
About a guy who fell in love with his phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This whole like Siri whole, it's like,
yeah.
I didn't see the movie, but you know what I'm saying? Like, this is friggin' here. This is weird.
I thought I saw the DVD on your... I saw the previews of it, and I even went and looked at the Wikipedia about who was the actors, mm-hmm. and what was going on, and who was the voice. And the reality is, this is the thing about with us with the church, and obviously we're come back to Israel in a moment, but how we find out if we really know God, if we really have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is how you know. It's not a virtual thing. It's a real thing.
That's right.
How do you get along with people?
Mm.
Can you actually love people?
Mm-hmm.
Which love is patient, love is kind, love is gentle, it's long-suffering, it keeps no records of wrong, no database.
Mm.
You know, we have different posts on that in segments you see, but that you can find out where you are in God when you find out who you are amongst people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No doubt.
And just amazing that so the enemy, if he steals that from you, he'll convince you you're right with God, but you'll never know until you're right with people.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And speaking of Mike Collins.
Oh,
my goodness. Mike, if you're watching and viewing today, we just want to say man, we love you.
Mm. Yeah.
We're so challenged. We repented about complaining about anything.
Everything.
You know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, the blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? It's huge. Oh, my goodness.
Huge.
If you have not, down in Pensacola area, you found a church to be able to gather with Pastor Mike Collins. Mm. He is a pastor of pastors. He is he is truly the love of Christ. I mean, think about it. A beautiful man. It's Charity Chapel is the name of his his church, and you can find him by going, I guess you could Google and all that type of thing, but just a beautiful man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just emits the
emanates
love of God.
Us.
Yeah, he just emits the love of the Lord. It's like if he's somewhere, I'm sliding up under his arm, throwing his arm on my leg.
I think he learned how to love.
What's that? Yeah.
I said, I think he learned how to love.
Oh, he did. He really did. You know, you should have seen Pat repenting. He's like, God, I need to love more, God. I need to love more.
Yeah.
But we're praying for Pastor Mike and just pray for us.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it was good to see how God's just touching him and all those things right there. But we're talking also about, you know, Israel's very important. Israel's a time clock. Israel's a time clock. And whatever happens to Israel, so happens to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want to pray for Israel. And by supporting VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, understand, you know, we're committed, as long as the Lord allows us, to stand up for God and country in that order and Israel. We want to get a perspective. God, what are you saying now about Israel? How can we pray for the peace of Jerusalem? You know, we support Kufi, ministry, Avi's ministry right there in Tel Aviv and Dugid and all the different things that are going on. But right this moment, the president, according to Jerusalem Post, the president is going to Saudi Arabia, which previously, remember, if you remember this, and hopefully there's a related article to this segment, is he went there in the beginning of his administration, called the Apology Tour, people nicknamed it that, but he went there and he bowed down to the king of Saudi, right, Saudi Arabia, which is the home of Mecca, right?
I believe so.
Yes, it's the home of Mecca. Remember, we talked about that, and we showed the you know the Arab League, and we worked our way all the way down to, well, that's where Mecca is. And Mecca is the, somebody says, that's the Mecca, and somebody's like, they're talking about that is the epicenter of Islam, you know, where they go and worship around waiting for the
12th Iman.
Yep, come out the ground. And that's what that black curtain is. And so hopefully today in the fourth program today, we're going to talk about, you know, how the word moderate Islam is an oxymoron. It's not. You can't. Doesn't
no
even.
There's
no such thing. Mm-hmm. It's just. It's just like a backslidden.
Moderate Christian.
Yeah, moderate. I'm a moderate Christian. Oh,
okay.
I follow Jesus halfway.
Right.
Halfway. But in that that an American journalist was scheduled. He covers the president and he works, I guess, with the Jerusalem Post. Was going to cover the president in Saudi Arabia, but Saudi Arabia refused to issue him a visa to come in. And he reports in the Jerusalem Post, as they have this interview, and you can see this interview on the VFN Torch, but he's saying it's either because of my religion that they won't let me in, or it's because of my media affiliation.
Wow.
And they're not letting him in. And it's like, why are we going to bow down to a country that doesn't even allow us to be Americans? And then the reports that you're just hearing when the president is speaking about, he's more concerned about New York City getting
a bomb
than he is about Russia.
That's right.
But if you go and listen to or read the prophecy by Dmitry Dudeman, you'll find out that Russia, nuclear content, and Cuba, and God's been saying some things about all that.
That's
and,
right.
And so we need to pay attention. Anytime somebody says they hate you and they have the ability to set off a nuclear bomb to kill a mass amount of humanity, you need to listen to them.
Catch a clue.
You
I mean,
know,
serious stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. And so, but in that, in talking about Israel, Palestinians, they took a Palestinian organization, you can find out the details on it on the Torch, but they took a survey of the Palestinian people about the framework of what President Obama, I guess, and John Kerry, Secretary John Kerry, put together for peace in the Middle East or with Israel and the recognition of a Palestinian
two-state
solution. But 63%, 62%, according to the Jerusalem Post, 62% of Palestinians say they do not agree with the framework of what we're presenting. So not only we're egging on Iran, we're giving them time to build nuclear weapons. Palestinians, and these things, well, the question is, you think, you know, what is the reason? Why wouldn't they agree to this? Because one of my concerns was, is, you know, why would the prime minister give up any land?
Right.
Well, you're already the size of a postage stamp. My personal belief now, after I prayed about it, is that he knew that they would do this. 62% said, we don't agree with the framework of this peace agreement, according to the Jerusalem Post, because it says they have to acknowledge a Jewish state. They have to say that Israel exists and they're a state. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
What's the bread analogy you talked about?
The thing is, like, you know, how do you refuse to acknowledge my piece of bread that you want me to break off to give to you?
Land.
I mean, yeah, land. I can't give you what you refuse to acknowledge. Acknowledge that we exist, and maybe we'll talk about giving you a piece of bread.
You know? You want what I got, but you want to say it exists. Isn't that crazy?
Mm. Crazy.
Dear Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Father God. Set your angels about them. Prevent and cancel every bomb, every attack, every strategy trying to come against Israel. We pray in Jesus' name.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. We're excited about being here with you. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier programs, you got to catch them. We're talking about what's happening in Israel. We want to know, you know, what to do, why aren't things working out with this peace agreement, land, you know, for peace. Is that a reality? How come most of the Palestinians are against the very thing? Everybody's against everything America's doing right now, it seems like, over there.
Yeah.
And yet we persist in doing it. It's almost like the Alinsky methodologies are just pushing in and polarizing things. You know?
It's a great series, by the way. You need to get that.
Yes, you really do. Hey, you know, why not? Why not be educated? Yeah. I know what's going on. And hopefully, you know, we did it in a way that can just make really good sense to you, you know, sharing a light perspective to the dark attacks of the strategies of the enemy. Today, we're going to be talking about and continue our conversations about, if you missed it, the prophecy from Dimitri Dudeman is there, available to you on the VFN Torch. You can go read that about America and the fires in America. And hopefully soon we'll be able to have an interview with Brett Holderbaum out of Colorado about what God has been showing him about Russia and different things as well. And you can go back and see and listen to it. And hopefully it's a related segment on VFN Radio about this. It's going to be physical. The battle's going to be physical. Remember,
boots on the ground.
I kind of hated to say that word, because last time we said that word, it was like immediately the entire Escambia County, where the hub is at, was hit. The whole hit was hit.
Right. Yeah.
Second, it came out.
That's right.
You know, it hit. You know, we stayed on the air because God, you know, showed us about all that. But you'll hear, if you hear that, when you hear the words, you hear me saying, "Is the battery up?" I'm talking of the battery backup or something of nature, generators, and that's when everything went down in the county. A moment God confirmed that word. The moment it was said, and so I don't want it either. I mean, why would anybody want it?
Yeah.
But understand, hell's worse than that. And if whatever it takes to bring in a multitude of souls into the kingdom of God, because the hard-heartedness and the distraction. I mean, you unplug all this virtualness, and you'll have people's attention again.
Yeah.
It's amazing how
heaven with one eye is better than going to hell with two eyes, trust me.
Yeah, I just read that this morning. This is what I thought would be really good to do. Is to go out and, you know, we go out and interview, go out and interview people in the streets and begin to say, is this from the Quran or is this from the Bible?
Oh, we need to do that.
And then,
then
read what Jesus said and then wait for the answer. And most people, because 97% don't even really,
they won't have no clue.
They don't have a clue. But the meatiness of what God is saying, what Jesus is saying there, most probably would say it comes from the Quran.
Yeah.
That come from the Quran.
Yeah.
And but the truth is, Jesus said, if your eye offends you, gouge it out. If your hand offends you, cut it off. Right?
That's right. That's it.
And if it causes you to sin, and it's like, that was the words of Jesus. Well, don't cut it off. Don't cut it. And by the way, it's gouging your own eye, don't somebody else's.
Exactly.
And you have a lot of words like, oh, can I pray about this a while? Lord? But it's cut that thing out of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, cut that, quit. You know, can't turn your eyes in. There's so many eye sins today. It was amazing.
Take your pick.
The things that are going on. You've got to guard your eyes. And
gates.
And television is almost impossible to watch TV without staying aggressively
on top of it.
Don't fall asleep with the television.
Yeah, here's a clue. DVR, the right programs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. DVR.
The right stuff.
That abbreviation for the devil? No. So, I want to talk about dancing. We'll talk about dancing today. Yeah. Pat.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
He's a dancer.
Ballroom dancing.
He's light on his feet.
And we'll talk about that.
We've seen the feet, so.
We won't talk about the day because I want to talk about God dances.
Mm.
God dances. You know, I'm reading through, and you've got to read the pleasure of His company, God's company, is Duchess talking scripturally, what's happening and getting a better perspective of the dimensions of God and who He is. And he talks about his own dancing experiences. And he said he could do the funky chicken and some other stuff. He said his mother walked in the room when he was a kid practicing the funky chicken. And she's like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with you? And started praying for him or something.
the whole generation saying, "What in the world is the funky chicken?"
Yeah, yeah. And his dad says, "Go get a friend." Go get a friend or something. And what's a dance or something? You stick your hands under your arm. What was it?
Pat, how do you do it?
He showed me that day. What was it?
No. I didn't show you that. The funky chicken. You were showing.
But you know, I mean, think about it. You don't think about. And some people right now, as a matter of fact, we even think about saying God dances. Would just, you know,
ruin their world.
Well, think about doctrinally. I mean, dance. And but I'm talking scripture. I'm not talking about what. And I love this. It's like, no, God's not like us. Mm. We're like God.
Mm. Absolutely.
He's created us in his image and his likeness. So when we're talking about things of that nature, when he's talking about it here, he's talking about how we're imitating God. We're this is how he made us. Right. I mean, if we laugh, then he laughs. If we cry, then he cries. And if we, boy, he's like into it.
Oh yeah,
almost lost the bullet. It was laying there.
Get sucked in
there. It was gone, man.
Don't go in.
He was in the zone. We're going in. We're going in.
Shut the door.
It was amazing.
Shut the front door.
Nailed everything down. And we're going in. And so we're going to talk about that, and in the context of just trying to help us understand how good our Father God is, and that to understand that you, if you have a healthy father, understand that. In the natural sense, you understand that you can laugh, you can joke, you can play, but you also understand that he's your father. Mm-hmm. So that's healthy, you know, the kindness and the sternness, and that you cannot, it's not all sternness and it's not all, you know, and let's go have some ice cream. It's just normal life in the context that it's kind of honoring that man as your father. Well, it's honoring God as father. It doesn't change his qualities because we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And this is important because right now, because so many our perspective, the enemy just really twisted our perspective of who he is, that when you preach about this God that you only know partially of who he is, then people just start going like, well, why would I want, you know, a relationship with this? And it's the wrong viewpoint of God.
Sure.
And if they find out, it's like, you know, God loves me. Mm-hmm. God's got a plan for my life. God sings over me. Mm. You know, God wants my company. I think that's huge.
Huge.
Yeah, so much so that he laid down his son's life so that he could have you in his presence right there. But we're going to talk about, you know, dancing and a particular scripture that talks about it, and hopefully get a chance to be able to speak more about that as well. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about he first loved you before, and you can fill in the blank. And that's so important because the enemy starts really attacking folks with, you know, you didn't, you know, he came looking for you. You weren't even looking for him. He drew you to himself and he just showed his love to you. You said yes to him. It was just a beautiful encounter with God. All that burden of sin was lifted off. And now the enemy is trying to beat you up and act like he's trying to convince you, or you're listening to the lies of the enemy. And you say, oh man, because of this, he doesn't love me anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm not religious enough, because I don't something, maybe it's a failure. And it's like, yeah, remember, he first loved you before. Hmm. And that's so important because it's out of our awareness of his love for us that compels us to walk rightly before him. You can't just do it religiously. I mean, the Pharisees were very religious, but they couldn't do it religiously. They had to meet Jesus and know the love of God. And so we're going to talk, hopefully, about that today, about his love compels us. The reason why is because he loved you first before. More after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother, sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions. That really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking at this particular moment in the program about dancing, you know, God dancing. Who would have thought of that? As a matter of fact, there's many people who believe that you're not even supposed to dance. But David danced.
Right.
Sure. And pleased the Lord, you know, and dancing and singing, all that's in the Word. And it could be that people just don't have any rhythm. I don't know what it is, or just trying to worry about people, what I look like. I don't know. You know.
Read the Bible.
And you know, you still can love God and not dance.
Mm-hmm.
And the
why are you looking at me?
You know, I'm just messing around.
I've seen you dance.
Hey,
right?
I dance.
Right?
I dance, no doubt.
Well, anyway, so Dutch Sheets writes about it in his book. He's talking about God dancing in the pleasure of his company, which is really good biblical perspective. And he's talking from a particular verse in Zephaniah that is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. And he says, the Lord your God is in your midst. He's a victorious warrior. He will exalt over you with joy. Think about that. Just over you with joy. Mm-hmm. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with the shouts of joy. And that's Zephaniah 3:17. The King James says he will joy over thee with singing. In the Hebrew language, in the Old Testament, this particular word translated joy and also rejoice in the NESB, but the word really comes from the Hebrew word G-U-W-L, which means this. This is what the word actually means. It means to spin around under the influence of any violent emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. And which would be a dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Especially violent. You know. But you think he also goes on to, this is pretty cool too, because it really shows you the language of God as pictures. That, you know, Hebrew is a pictorial language. And a word paints a picture or creates an image. And when you think about the spinning and the sound of emotion, that really joy is just too light of a word to be able to think about that. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, you know, I remember when, you know, all kidding aside, the Saints did win a Super Bowl game. And
wow.
Do you remember, you know, passive, calm, quiet, reserved?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Pat was just always calm. But when they won, do you remember that?
Oh, exuberance.
It was exuberant. And he was jumping around and dancing and pulled the bag off. But think about it, because you're just excited. You're sure. Think about it, especially being a Saints fan that long. I mean, to see something good come out of Nazareth.
Yes.
And, but we're not going to talk about the Lions right now.
For sure.
That's the best croquet I've ever seen. Anyway, so badminton. Just being excited. And so God is excited over you. And one good way to understand a perspective, Jesus explained the Father to us. He explained the Father to us. When you think about the prodigal and the prodigal, he's explaining what the Father is like and what happens when the prodigal comes back home again. And of course, the Father in that story, the Father in the story is the representation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when God sees his son coming back, he throws a party. I mean, literally throws a feast and a party. Kill the fatted calf. Get everybody together. We're going to celebrate. My son who was dead is alive, and he's come back.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting thing. And so not only is he dancing, but it's a party, and it's like, the joy in that word, that particular Hebrew word, which means just like, this is time to get serious and to celebrate. And it kind of shows, even with Zephaniah, and it shows, and this is Jesus, all the few words that we have in him speaking to us, explaining to us his heart, is this is who God is. It's about a relationship. God wants us to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
And sin separated us from him. And so his son, he sacrificed his son, Jesus Christ, so that we could actually have this relationship with him. And so we can have this, and we always pray, we're praying in our prayer and fasting community is, God, let me know what you're feeling, what your emotions, your perfect emotions. And somebody says, well, God's not like us. And you're absolutely right. We're like God.
Absolutely.
He's not created in our image and our likeness. We're created in his image and his likeness. So you can actually look at what he created according to Romans chapter 1 and look at what he's created and understand the creator who created us and it and stuff and things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just so important to understand. It's like some people have such difficulty in connecting with God because they make God such an abstract creation, or not creation, but abstract from their reality. That it's like, that's not, no, look at, he created us in his image and his likeness.
Which is so important because your view, what your perception of who God is the most important thing about you.
Yes.
Because if your perception of God is so small, it ruins your ability to actually enter into the relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Charles Simpson says, the most important thing about you is what you think about God.
Mm.
Wow. Think about it. If you think Jesus is not the son of God, that thought will bring you into eternal separation from God.
That's right.
If you think and believe that he is, think about that the most important thing about you. So it's important for you to meditate on the word of God and find out what God says so you can have your thoughts would be, love him with all of your mind, to have your thoughts right towards God, right?
Absolutely.
And so in this, he talks about, the dancing aspect of it. And you've heard about footprints before, the footprints in the sand. But I like what Dutch talks about in his book here, and we'll make it available to you on the VFN Torch. But he's talking about a different viewpoint, and I'm going to read it to you right here about footprints. He says, a woman had a dream in which her life was with Jesus, pictures of footprints in the sand. So she was looking at comparing it. It was like footprints in the sand. For much of her way, the Lord's footprints went along steadily, consistently, and rarely varied in pace. Like, imagine the footprints going on down the sand. Her prints, however, were disorganized streams of zigzags, starts, stops, turning around, circles, departures, and returns. For a long while, they seemed to go like this. But gradually, her footprints came in line with the Lord's and eventually paralleled his consistently. She and Jesus were walking in true relationship. These are dreams that she's getting, and that was the first. The second is, and this seemed perfect, but then an interesting thing happened, it goes on to say. Her footprints that once were etched in the sand next to the mattress were now walking precisely in his steps. Inside his large footprints were small footprints safely enclosed. She and Jesus were becoming one. This went on for many, many miles. Mm. So now, in this vision or this dream, that her footprints inside this big footprint. So it's like a small footprint inside his footprint. Then he goes to say, she goes on to say, but gradually she noticed another change. The footprints inside the larger prints seemed to grow bigger. Eventually, they disappeared altogether. There was only one set of footprints. They had become one. Again, this went along for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, then something awful happened, she says. The second set of footprints was back. So you go back. The original footprints were back. This time, it seemed even worse than the beginning. Zigzags all over the place, starts, stops, deep gashes in the sand. Literally a mess of prints. She was amazed and shocked, but this is how the whole dream ended. That's how it was. So the lady went to the Lord in prayer, seeking an understanding. Lord, I understand the first scene in the dream where the zig, the zag, and the fits and starts and stops. I was a new Christian, just learning, but you walked on and helped me learn the way to walk with you. And the Lord says, this is correct. Then, when the smaller prints were inside yours, I was actually learning to walk inside of your steps. I was following you more closely. Very good, the Lord said. You understand everything so far. Then the smaller footprints grew and eventually filled yours. I suppose that was actually growing in you and becoming more like you in every way. Precisely, the Lord says. And then she says, but this is my question, Lord. The footprints went back to the original steps, how they were at the beginning. And this time they were more chaotic than they were at the first. This is a big, huge regression in my life, she talks about. And the Lord smiles and he laughs and he says, you don't know what that is? And she says, no. He goes, that was us dancing.
Oh, wow.
Is that not awesome?
Wow.
Is that, because sometimes, you know, when you're going on this journey, you can keep comparing things to your original walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And there comes a point when it's like, you got to grow up and your parents aren't looking at you as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at you as a man, as a woman. And it's like, let's just live life now, you know, and walking with God. I mean, God's not always, you're growing up in God, becoming more, let's relate. The whole point was for a relationship. And so I just want to just encourage you today, you know, ever how you want to obviously it's ever how,
mm-hmm.
but celebrating God. He celebrates you. He sings over you. And begin to have this perspective of him, because this will, it's the compelling love of God that brings you into obedience with him. You obey him. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. Understand mm-hmm. the context of that. If you just think, oh my goodness, I've got to love on God today. I got to do this. I got to do that. But if you understand he loves you and that overwhelming love, it will compel you to go, what can I do for him? Mm-hmm. And then you begin to look in his word and go, you know what? What do you want, lover of my soul?
Mm-hmm.
The one whose footsteps are all over the sand because we're dancing together today. What do you want from me? What you think about it. It's mm-hmm. awesome, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And somebody says, you know, then, and this is what's happened is you looked at that particular scripture backwards and where Jesus says, you know, if you love me, you will obey me. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to have to obey God. That's how I love God. And that's how he's going to love me back. The truth is, no, he loved you before all that.
Mm.
And the knowledge of him loving you, the knowledge of that reality empowers you to love him, and you're compelled now to obey him. So obedience comes out of the compulsion that comes from your knowledge of his love. Just because you lose the knowledge of his love does not mean he doesn't love you. You just don't know he did, or you forgot he did.
That's right.
Because nothing can separate you from the love of God.
That's right.
But the knowledge of the love of God, the enemy can come in and religion can come in. And, you know, who bewitched you? You were walking a good walk. And now all of a sudden, you know, do I do these things amongst you because you obey some law or because you believe?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says. That's what Paul's talking about the church of Galatia. And it's like, yes, no, but obedience does come. And it is a byproduct of our relationship, loving a relationship with God. But understand, it comes from love. I mean, you have to have that perspective, and you don't think God loves you and celebrates you and sings over you, and his heart is broken when, you know, you do sin, or we do sin, or we go adrift or something of that nature. I mean, look at his talk with Moses.
Mm.
I mean, he's with Moses, and You know, he's walking, trying to bring his folks outside of, he's bringing them outside of Egypt, and he responded to their cry. He's about to show himself mighty, and he's so upset. He's so upset. He's like, I got to go. I got to go. Yeah, those moments, like, I got to go. You ever have one of those moments?
It's
just
like,
you don't, just want you to stay. No, you need me to go, Moses, right?
That's right.
And so then he says, I'll just leave him with you. You know, matter of fact, I may even start over with you again, but I'll just leave him with you and send an angel here and you guys walk along and so God's heart was hurt. God's loving on Israel, and Israel's doing that to God. You think about it. And so it's not that God's not hating. The very fact that he loves you is the reason why hardship's happening in your life. Consider hardship as discipline.
Right.
God's treating you as a son. Understand, if you think it's religious, then you're missing everything. You're constantly failing, and you're getting further and further away from the knowledge, the love of God, and it's like a roadblock for you. But if you understand God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life, and God's grace is sufficient, and his mercies are new every morning, that will actually empower you through your trust and your reliance on the finished work of the cross of Christ to begin to walk in obedience that you thought you could never do before. Because God will empower you through his son and your faith and his finished work and his love for you. Don't forget, God loved you before all that, before you did anything. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He loved you. Why would he change it now? Get back in tune with the love of God and find out what you and God, through the leadership of Jesus Christ, can do, all for his glory.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years, where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it, on the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. You Scrub a Pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, afterbath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Jesus himself said this. He said, the verdict is in. Bam. I mean, you remember the jury comes in and the judge order in the court, they open the little piece of paper where your whole life can just like, what? And it opens it up and the verdict is in, and Jesus says, some people just love the prince of darkness. They just love darkness. They love the deeds you could do in darkness. There's some folks that just love Lucifer's stuff. You just dust your feet and you move on. This is a relationship. If you try to force somebody to have a relationship with God, you don't even have a concept of him. And secondly, you might not even know him.
Besides, forced relationship by our own laws is called rape. You have to want to be with God. It's a choice. Which is so cool because God wants to be with you.